What's up, everyone, and welcome to Mound Talk Podcast. This podcast is created by a college pitcher to interview professional pitchers, both current and former. In this podcast, we dive into their experience becoming a pro and their journey. Joining me today on episode 15 of Mound Talk Podcast is not a current player, but current Seattle Mariner television play-by-play announcer, Dave Sims. When I started out with this podcast, I had the idea to branch out and have other guests on than just baseball players, but wanted to have on people who were heavily involved with the sport to tell their story too. Dave has been with Seattle since 2007, but before that he had worked for ESPN as well as many other talk show and radio jobs. I'll let Dave explain a little bit about what he does and who he is, so let's go ahead and get into it. All right, so I'm joined with Dave Sims, who is the Mariners TV play-by-play commentator. Dave, thank you very much for coming on.
You're very welcome. Good to see you. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
No complaints. No real complaints.
So real quick, for those who don't know, you know, exactly what you do, can you give us a little description about, you know, being the play-by-play commentator?
Well, you know, in the beautiful ballpark that you have behind you at T-Mobile Park, I'll tell a story of the Mariners on the field, 162 games a year, and, I'll get to follow Major League Baseball. It's pretty cool. And I do probably, 80% of my games on TV, the other 20% on radio, and a great career choice. Took me a long time to get there. I'm glad I'm here and hope to stay a little bit longer.
That's very awesome. So, you know, I know, you know, before you get into your, you know, career commentating, you also played sports in, I believe, college, correct?
Yeah, I've been a jock all my life and played in high school, Letterman four times in baseball, three in,
wow,
in football, two in basketball, a couple MVPs in baseball, honorable mention in football. And then I played D3 football and finished third in the conference, the kickoff return, well, conference out in almost in the Midwest. So, and then I knew I wanted to get into broadcasting and sports media. So I've been in here ever since I got out. Actually, I've been in sports media since after my sophomore year in college.
That's awesome. So was that kind of something, you know, while you were playing, you know, football, did you kind of know you wanted to go into broadcasting or what kind of?
Absolutely. Yeah. I played the 1 year in college football and I said, man, enough of this. Let's return the kicks and paying a price. And it wasn't, you know, you got to really enjoy a certain degree of hitting people and accepting being hit. And I got old and so I bagged and I'm glad I did. It was the right move. It was the right move for me. And, I threw my concentration into, you know, working in sports media on campus and whatnot, it paid off.
So once you had like, you know, that passion for commentating, what was like your first step? Like, how did you find a way to get your foot in the door?
Like anything, ask questions, ask around. I mean, I asked my advisor, I got an internship at the Philadelphia Inquirer, I got bylines in the first week and was there for a summer with 13 other kids from around the country. They didn't have the program the second year, but the sports department liked me a lot and they had me back the second year. And that's when I, actually I knew about a week or two in it at first, after I got over the initial jitters that first year. And then the second year, and I had a great time in the second year. I got to cover my beat that first year was a pro soccer team, expansion team that went on, wow, to win the North American Soccer League Championship. Got to be on my first road trip going to Dallas for a championship game. It was pretty cool. And then, I got the, I did mainly soccer and I did some fill in stuff. I think it's an Eagles camp stuff. And, the third year I came back and I did some consumer hotline stuff and I got a job here in New York at the Daily News and been in New York ever since.
So from the start, did you have and now you're with the Mariners, obviously, did you kind of have an idea like, oh, I want to go to baseball, or was it just kind of like, I want to go wherever this takes me and wherever I enjoy?
I was hoping to get a baseball job for sure for a long time. But I've been lucky. I mean, I did NFL football for 17, 18 years with Westwood One, Sunday night and Sunday afternoon football nationally. Did ESPN, still do some FS1 stuff. And baseball was always my favorite sport. So, and I went, especially after I got a taste of doing it, during my time at Madison Square Garden, did a few St. John's games. And then in 93 and 4, I did games for ESPN, which was really cool. It was a B-net games. Like if the Yankees and the Red Sox were the A game going the 90, going across the country in those two markets, they would get me calling Toronto and Toronto and the Mariners, I guess.
Okay.
And that was a great education. That was a great, you know, experience. That's what I knew. So, you know, I'd love to do this full time. Had several near misses with a few teams, and then the Mariners happened in 2007. Glad it did.
That's awesome. So, you know, you said you were working with ESPN, and I want to say you started out with ESPN doing basketball, right?
February 91. Yeah, I had done Temple football and that university football. That my first year was 90, and February 91, I was on ESPN, and I was there till 2007.
Okay, wow. So, you know, you said you were, you know, playing all kinds of sports, you know, in high school. But so was it kind of tough to learn, like the lingo of each sport, you know, once you're going from football for this game, basketball?
Not really. I mean, I played it, been watching all my life. I mean, I grew up in Philly as a, you know, classic Philadelphia sports fan, going to Eagles games, Warriors games, Phillies games. I mean, I knew the sports. I know the history of the sports, you know, followed it, you know, always have to wait for my dad to finish the sports page. You know, listen to all the sports shows on TV. I mean, I watched everything. So I knew the rules. I mean, which is, you know, I went in knowing what the heck I was looking at, and knowing the history of all the sports in this country.
Okay. And so, you know, I guess this is something that I guess is still maybe relevant, but I guess especially towards the beginning when you're, you know, for you as, you know, just out of high school doing, or just out of college doing like bigger events, but like, how, you know, is it stressful being like, okay, so many people are listening, I got to be perfect, I can't mess up? Is that something that kind of goes through your head, or is it just one of those like, just relax and do your thing?
You got to have supreme confidence in yourself, and yeah, you're going to be a little bit nervous, but nervous energy is nothing wrong with that. Heck, I've been doing this for a lot of years now, and I still get, I don't say nervous, but you know, I get pumped up. I don't need any artificial, you know, I'm naturally fired up. And you know, initially, yeah, that's a problem. And people are looking at you, but you get over. I get over that real quick. I mean, you know, you have to. There's a certain boldness that you gotta have to do this kind of job, to be in front of people. I mean, you gotta be comfortable in your own skin. You gotta be able to, you know, walk into a room and meet people, get to know them, and all that kind of stuff. And if you don't have that quality, you're not gonna make it this business. I mean, it's real simple.
So, and yeah, I guess like part of that, you know, playing sports helps, because I mean, like as a pitcher, you know, you're on the mound, there's so many people watching, you can throw a ball or throw a strike. I mean, obviously you want to throw strikes, but you know, things happen, but you know, you got to have the confidence in yourself. So I guess like that kind of, I'm sure that helped a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're a performer and you know, you're really not worrying about what, you know, the guy in the third row over there and the guy in the fifth row, you give a damn about what the hell he's saying. I'm out there to do a job. I'm out here having fun. This is what I want to do. You know, I made the team, I earned a spot, and you know, this is who I am. This is what I do. So, you know.
And so you mentioned, you know, you were working with ESPN, but then in 2007, you started to work for the Mariners. Was that like, how did that come about?
Well, it's like anything in American life is about connections and, you know, an opportunity. An opportunity was Ron Fairley retired, a guy I knew at the Mariners, called my brother-in-law, who called me. Long story short, put in for the job, and, you know, I won it basically with a nationwide search. And I wound up beating out a lot of experience, maybe some guys with a little bit more experience than what I had. But, you know, I think, you know, they liked what I brought to the table. And here it is, I'm getting ready to start year 15.
Wow, that's crazy. So, you know, of course, you know, every season there's, you know, different games that have different meanings and, you know, special more than others. I know in 2012 you called two, you know, huge games within, what was it? I want to say, like, you know, within the few months together.
Well, April was it April 21 and August 15. Yeah, perfecto by Philip Umber, the White Sox against the Mariners, and Felix Hernandez against the Rays in August. Yeah, you know, historic. I mean, there's only been like, I would have went to about 25, I think, perfect games in the history of baseball, and I got a couple of them. But as I always say, you know, that's nice, but it doesn't get me on the subway here in New York. But it's great. It was, you know, certainly momentous thrills, you know, something I don't forget. But I'd like to think that there's dozens, hundreds, and maybe 1,000 other games I'm pretty proud of that nobody talks about. So it's just in baseball, let alone football and basketball. So I appreciate you bringing that up.
And you mentioned, you know, like there's other games that are still also extremely important to you. What's kind of something that, like, what are some games that maybe aren't necessarily the perfect game, you know, everyone knows about, but what's some games that kind of stand out to you in your career?
Well, Felix threw a one-hitter at Yankee Stadium, which is one of the most dominant performances that I've ever seen. It was at Louisville, West Virginia, and New Mexico at the Pit, which was a heck of a game. It was a three-point, you know, just unbelievable demo of shooting three-point shots by West Virginia. First half, they were killing a highly ranked Louisville team, and then they ran out of gas, and Louisville came back to beat them. So, I mean, I could go for hours on that, but I've been very lucky having the good fortune of being around a lot of good contests.
That's crazy. And so, you know, something with that I was wondering is, you know, you're, you know, sitting behind home plate, you know, some rows up, but what's something you think you get to see of a pitcher, you know, because, you know, I'm biased to pitchers. What's something you get to see, like, isn't like, oh, this pitcher's different than the rest, or this pitcher's, you know, got something different going today. What's something like you can kind of tell different than just a normal fan would be able to see?
You can tell when a guy's scared to throw a pitch. You can tell when a guy is in total command. Give me the ball. Let's roll. Let's rock. I mean, you see Verlander. You see Felix in his prime. DeGrom. I mean, all the key pitchers, the usual suspects. Gerrit Cole, and he shoved it on us so many times back in 19. It's a joke. And again, give me the ball. Let's go. Boom, boom, boom. He was almost working quick like Bob Gibson. So, I mean, you get to see some incredible things, and you also see some guys who get out there and who are highly regarded or heralded is what I'm looking for. And, you know, the moment's too big for them. They can't handle it. Can't find a strike zone. And so, I mean, you get to see, I mean, such is the course of human history in baseball. I mean, that's the way it rolls, man.
And so, you know, I know now, right now with, I guess, like COVID, like what was it like, you know, you are getting ready to go, you know, to Seattle to do, you know, the commentating last year. And then all of a sudden, like the shutdown, what is it like, you know, once you start coming back to, you know, get ready for the season, like that it is going on. What was like kind of like the differences for you?
Well, we started out in going to spring training, like everything was pretty normal last year. It was at Feb 19, and then we bugged out on the 11th of March. Laid out. I didn't go back to Seattle until June 29th. The game started like July 23rd. So it was, you know, it was a rebooting, and, you know, they had summer camp. So I went, you know, we did a few innings on a couple of those games to get the rhythm back, but it was different. I mean, calling everything, I mean, the home games, you're right there. It's, you know, no big deal, but calling the road games off of TV, you know, it presented some challenges, but you know, it's not risking my life going into fight a fire or anything. It was just different. Sure. That's all. I mean, you can't, you know, if there's runners on base and a guy gaps one, you can't see what the runners are doing. You don't know who's being held up. You don't know who's really galloping hard, running hard from first to third, who's trying to score from second, that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's, you deal with it. You adjust, you make the best of your situation. There's so many more difficult things going on in this country than worry about me doing, or doing any of us in baseball, doing games off the TV. It's just different. That's all. And I think everybody adjusted. I think we all have these gigs because we're good at it, and you just keep moving forward. Hope, you know, hopefully this year, at some point, you know, maybe we catch a break. Who knows? Maybe we catch a break midway through the season. Maybe after the All-Star break, they let us travel again. But until that time, you know, for the most guys, I would imagine are going to be working remotely for road games. But we'll see.
So I know, like, you know, for Seattle, you know, this year and last year, they used a 6-man rotation. Is there any pitcher, you know, I guess, of course, you know, they're all fun to call, but is there any pitcher like, man, like this guy, like I'm excited to call, you know, this matchup or just this guy starting? It's always great to call him.
Well, you always like Kevin, you know, your number one. I mean, you know, Marco Gonzalez is our number one. And he had a great year. He led in a lot of statistical categories last year, and, you know, excited for him. He's really mature. He just continues to grow. You know, hopefully he'll, you know, have a chance, you know, get 35 starts, maybe and win 18, 21 games this year. Who knows? But yeah, they're all good. I mean, everybody has their story. I'm excited about all the guys. I'm excited to have Pax back. And hopefully, you know, he'll have a terrific year and stay healthy. If he can make 35 starts, heck, he can win 20 games easily. So We'll see what happens.
Is there someone, you know, not a Mariner that you also just, you know, this guy, you know, could be, you know, like you said, Gerrit Cole, Jacob deGrom, big name, or even, you know, fifth starter that you just love to see when they come in?
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, anybody who's an ace, I mean, anybody who's any guys, anybody who are the top guns in the business, I mean, those, you know, Gerrit Cole, we missed him last year, obviously, because we didn't play the Yankees. We only played the National League West. I mean, we saw Kershaw. This year they got Bauer. I mean, they got a heck of a rotation with Bueller. And if David Price is coming back. So, yeah, I mean, you get fired up to see anybody who's at the top of their craft.
And so, you know, now, I guess the last, month or so, the Mariners started doing their, like, virtual bash instead of the Fan Fest. What was it like? I mean, I know you had some involvement. Can you tell us about, you know, what all went into that?
Well, it was just, you know, a series of interviews via, you know, via Zoom. And I interviewed, let's see, Flexen and Murph, Dylan Moore, Justin Dunn, Julio. I'm leaving some, Margavichus, Sheffield again. Yeah, those are the guys that kind of, those are the guys I think I had. And then we did, what did we do? We did some forums revolving around Black History Month, revolving around last summer, the whole racial justice, injustice scene, and had forums with guys. So that was, it was good. Usually, you know, we do the caravan, we're traveling around the Northwest. Obviously that didn't happen this year with no way in the world that was going to work. And so they made up for it, and it was good. And I think, you know, I'd have to check with the people back in Seattle. I don't know what the feedback was, but people in marketing and whatnot. But I would imagine it was pretty well received. We did a really good job. I know from talking to people in the building, they were very impressed by what, you know, my broadcast partners did and what they continue to do with the, you know, Hot Stove show on radio. And, you know, Aaron did interviews, Rick did interviews, and Gary Hill. So it was all good. It's all good.
So, you know, like you were saying, you got to do interviews. Going from normal TV, you know, broadcasting to now interviews, is that something kind of fun to, like, mix it up with, to be able to just slow pace, just ask questions and get to know the player more?
I've been talk radio for years. I mean, I did WNBC radio here, did WFAN. Just another day at the office. And it's just, you know, it's nice to talk to a lot of these guys, especially, you know, when you have your own team, you know everybody pretty well, particularly the guys who've been around for the last couple of years. So it's, you know, it's something that's what I do. And it's fun. I mean, you know, we got good guys. We just got to win some damn baseball games.
And so for, you know, a young person, I guess, high school, younger, even college, what would something you would say, you know, you mentioned, you know, networking, but someone that wants to go into commentating or broadcasting or some sort like that, what's some, like, tips you would give to a young guy who doesn't exactly know what to do to go to take the next step?
Well, first you need to start focusing a lot better, and then you need to know your sports. You need to have command of the language. You got to have interview skills, listening skills. And you got to be ready to be, there's a certain level of performance involved in it. You got to bring your personality. You have to be self-confident, self-aware, and comfortable, and confident, and unafraid. I mean, it's a great way to make a living. It's super competitive, and just the beauty of athletics that I learned all through the years. I mean, you're not going to win them all. You try to be perfect every time, and you give your best every time out. Joe DiMaggio was asked one time, Joe, why do you play so hard all the time? And he said, because somebody see me for the first time. And, you know, you're out there and you bust it, and you have pride in who you are and what you do and the organization that you work for. And there you go. But, you know, it's not a snap. You can wish and hope and wish and hope, but you got to put in the work.
Definitely. And, you know, kind of, you know, another random, like, off the topic question, what is one thing, you know, now that you're, you know, maybe just with Seattle, like, baseball wise, or even before, outside of just your, you know, enjoyment of, like, broadcasting, but, like, something traveling that you've just found that you enjoy to do. So, like, maybe, like, in the morning before the game that you just enjoy, you know, traveling or checking out each, you know, spot you go to.
Well, we've played some really good golf courses around the country, which is a terrific perk. And yeah, you try to hit a museum or two, and industry, everything's built around, hey, we're going to do this at this time. So it's very similar in that regard too.
Okay. And, you know, I want to bring out this story to wrap it up. Kind of, I know Rick Davis, you know, mentioned this to me, and you posted it too on your Instagram. Tell us a little bit about your Hank Aaron story, because I think that is, you know, pretty unique how you got in contact with him.
Well, I was at, I want to say it was probably 87, summer 87. And I was at WNBC radio, and Yeah, I had the nighttime talk show, Sports Night with Dave Sims. We were on, if there were no games, we were on 7:30 to midnight. And yeah, David Letterman at the time was doing his show, and he was doing the show, the late night show at NBC. And they tape at 5:30 us on the in-house router that that Mr. Ann was going to be on. So, and you know, I still had some time, so I went upstairs and asked somebody. I said, you know, when Henry Earn's on, at what door is he going to come out of to get on the elevator to leave with his people? And I said, that door over there. So I waited by that door, came out, said hello, introduced myself, and said, Mr. Aaron, I'd love if you can give me 5 minutes. Just come down, talk some baseball, say hello, take a couple of pictures. Gave us 20 minutes, 25 minutes. That was great. Bummer is I can't find a daggone tape, but it was a great thrill. It's a terrific, just a great, great man. All everything you've ever heard about him. Being a real gentleman, obviously his numbers speak for himself, his baseball career. I mean, you know, it's top three, maybe of all time. You start talking about great ball players, but yeah, it was, that was a unique, that was the only time I ever met him. I tried to meet him last time we were in Atlanta. I think that we played, we were down in Atlanta. I spoke to a woman, I guess it was like his right-hand person, gave her my card. And he, you know, he wasn't moving around as well. Sometimes he comes to the ball games. He happened not to come to the ball game that day, so I was a little bummed I didn't meet him there. But I'll never forget the one meeting I had. Good, just a terrific man. And you know, I'd grown up in Philly, you know, watching baseball all the time. I followed him, obviously, you know, following his career. I mean, it's, what can you say about his career?
Definitely, yeah.
But that's you know, that was my Letterman say, my brush with greatness.
And I think that's, you know, that especially shows that, you know, like you were talking about marketing and just, or I'm not working, networking and just, you know, trying and not just like, you know, because he wasn't supposed to come on your show, but you kind of did your searching and figured out where could you meet him? How could you meet him? And that's, you know, you took initiative to try that.
Well, ingenuity has a little bit to do with it. And you just got to, you know, again, you got to just, you have to be bold enough to say, hey, you go up and cold, meet somebody cold, and that's part of the deal. That's what we do. That's what we do. It's all part of the business. You can't be shy in retiring and be in this business.
Well, I look forward to hearing you calling some of the Mariner games this season, and I wanted to thank you again very much for coming on.
You bet. Hey, good luck to you. All right.
Thank you very much.
Success. Stay healthy. Yeah, you bet.
Thanks again for listening to episode 15 of Mound Talk Podcast. We put out podcast episodes every Friday, so don't forget to check back for our next episode. For more on Dave, you can find his Instagram at TDSS. And for more of Mound Talk Podcast, you can find us on all podcast platforms and social media at Mound Talk Podcast. Also, don't forget to check out our YouTube, where you can watch the videos from these recordings and see our other YouTube exclusive videos such as Glove Talk and much more.